Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with never-before-seen documentary footage of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, her movements and thoughts as the January 6th attack began. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
In the pre-dawn hours of January 7th, then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi sat in the back of an SUV looking visibly exhausted and in disbelief.
I just feel sick that what he did to the Capitol and to the country today.
You see her working with her team on the statement she would later make at a press conference where she had planned to say,
"There's a domestic enemy in the White House."
Referring to former President Donald Trump.
The video was turned over to Congress by HBO and obtained by CBS News. Little more than 2 months before the next election, Donald Trump's been indicted again by special counsel Jack Smith for trying to overturn the 2020 results. This time, Smith has stripped out accusations dealing with the former president's actions while in office to comply with the Supreme Court's immunity ruling. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson spoke to CBS's Nora O'Donnell about her blistering dissent in the case.
I was concerned about a system that appeared to provide immunity for one individual under one set of circumstances, when we have a criminal justice system that had ordinarily treated everyone the same.
Vice President Harris and Tim Walz kick off a bus tour in Georgia today, the state where former President Trump pressured a state official to find him votes when he lost in 2020. WTOC-TV's Flynn Snyder.
Several state and local Democratic leaders here have said the road to the White House runs through Georgia. Her repeated stops here to not only Savannah, but the Peach State indicate her campaign views Georgia as an important state in the race for the White House.
People in the Midwest and East bracing for triple-digit record-breaking heat today. This woman's been helping out in Chicago.
We are giving water to people in the community. We're blessing people with water because it is a very hot day.
In the Middle East, bulldozers digging up streets in the occupied West Bank, where at least 9 Palestinians have been killed in a major Israeli military operation. The BBC's Yolande Nell from Jerusalem.
The Israeli military has not said very much officially about what is going on. It's talked about this being a counter-terrorism operation involving different security forces.
Rare job cuts at Apple. The company says it's letting go about 100 people. Bloomberg says most are part of the team responsible for the Apple Books app and the Apple Bookstore. S&P futures are up too. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Could the state soon get its first national park? Representative Tom Tiffany wants to make that happen. He's proposed for the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore to become a national park. That designation would mean the area gets additional funding for conservation and projects. Wisconsin is one of 20 states without a national park. And all summer, you've had to check to make sure beaches are open because toxic algae blooms can cause them to close. Well, the Environmental Protection Agency says it's happening more and more. John Rumpler of Environment America says big factory farms are one of the main contributors.
That volume of manure, whether it's spread on crops or otherwise managed, it just all too often winds its way from the croplands to rivers and lakes and streams.
The EPA is considering updating regulations on waste from slaughterhouses for the first time in 40 years. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose in a battle of home runs. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee hit 2 home runs, but the San Francisco Giants hit 3 of their own to win 5-4 on Tuesday night, including the go-ahead shot by Mike Yastrzemski.
As Yastrzemski swings, it's a high fly ball deep right. Frelick going back at the track, at the wall. It's gone! And just like that, the Giants go back ahead.
That call courtesy of KNBR. Milwaukee was leading the NL Central by 12 games a week ago, but after losing four of the last six, the Brewers' lead is down to 9 in front of the Chicago Cubs. The second of 3 games in the series against the Giants is tonight in Milwaukee. The Packers trimmed their roster down to 53 players on Tuesday. Green Bay placed running back A.J. Dillon on injured reserve in one of the moves. The Packers also kept kicker Greg Joseph over Anders Carlson, a 6th-round draft pick last year. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today, our high 76 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 79 with scattered showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Maggie Dawn.
Did you know that dark money groups are spending millions to hire paid canvassers in Wisconsin on behalf of Donald Trump? I'll tell you all about it next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Back here at 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, August 28th on Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up, we're going to check in with the newest political correspondent for Up North News, Elizabeth Montemurro, and talk about her coverage of the Democratic National Convention and one woman's ongoing effort to get the lead water pipes across Wisconsin removed after seeing what lead poisoning did to her son. We're going to talk about that. In our homeroom segment, we'll hear some of the convention remarks from the leaders of two of the nation's largest teachers unions. We will have Todd Alba along as well. And we also have meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us. And then I think as soon as she's done with the forecast, we're going to get a hot take from Minnesota Governor Tim Walz that I want Brittany to comment on. But first off, Brittany, good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. Cloudy and 63 degrees. The northeast winds putting a chill in the air. I've got 6 lawns to mow and a doctor's appointment in Shawano. 6/10 of an inch of rain in yesterday morning's storm. Only 2/10 of an inch here in Chippewa Falls. It was very dependent on where you are with that kind of a storm. How are you?
Oh, it's good. I'm good this morning. A little cloudy, a little foggy here.
Well, good, because Greg is asking on YouTube, not this Greg, the other Greg. Brittany, promise me a good, cooler weather forecast, please, as he says, good morning up north from down south here in Waukesha.
Oh, very nice. Yes, you've got a cooler weekend ahead, but obviously not as cool as us up north. That wind has turned as of last night. It's pulling out of the north. It's a little bit more crisp and more refreshing, and it's going to be filtering all of that humidity away. The only place that may still see some of it or feel a little bit of it is going to be along that southern state line through the afternoon. But otherwise, this morning, patchy fog, definitely dense in the southwestern parts of the state. That'll clear here over the next hour or two. And of course, we're going to stay mostly cloudy today. We've got a lot of cloud cover to deal with, but a lot more sunshine will be peeking out by the afternoon down to the south and the western parts. So as we go through the day, highs will hit 72 about in the northern areas and low 80s for southern areas. And we do have chances for some spotty sprinkles, maybe in the Fox Valley and by Lake Michigan through the afternoon. But that is it. Everybody else, mostly cloudy and eventually clearing by this evening.
All right. For what Rob tells us is opening night of the Shawano County Fair. So get on out there.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Brittany, yes. What is your take on a Juicy Lucy?
A Juicy Lucy. Oh, goodness. What is that? Is that a burger or am I wrong?
Oh, see, now that takes us to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz in a clip that I sent to Greg a little bit ago, who there were a whole lot of social media influencers who covered the convention, who've been covering the campaign. Tim Walz has been talking to a bunch of them. And on one of these podcasts, Subway Takes with Kareem Rama, we get what Governor Tim Walz thinks of home ownership and somehow makes the transition into how do you put cheese on a burger. Greg, give it a click.
So what's your take?
My take is the most neglected part of home ownership is the gutters. It's personal for me.
100% agree.
I've had problems with gutters before. You get your basement wet, you get ice dams, cause a lot of problems.
It's not good.
No, it is not, but there are fixes. Now, the other dangerous thing is that when you live in Minnesota, fall's a great time of year, a lot of leaves. You got to get up on a ladder.
And they get stuck in the gutter. The leaves get stuck in the gutter. I've seen many a man fall off the ladder.
Many a man, seriously.
Many a man fall off the ladder.
But there's a fix. You can put a gutter helmet over the top of it.
A gutter helmet?
It covers it. It lets the water go through, keeps it out of your house. I see this all the time.
How often do you like looking at gutters?
I look quite often, surprisingly, because
like
I kind of judge it. You know, I try not to be judgmental on people, but when I see a well-tended gutter, it says a lot about somebody. So,
what's better, a well-tended lawn or a well-tended gutter?
I'd go with the gutters. I'd go with the gutters.
100%. There's no doubt in your mind.
No, I think gutters are a big thing, that they really matter.
Where do you buy gutters?
The downspouts I bought at Menards.
Save big money at
Menards. You're exactly right.
That's not right.
I'm not good at that.
You're going to leave hanging like that?
No, you're right. Okay, you ready?
On three.
Save big money at Menards. And keep your receipts, 11%. Rebates, but you got to send them in. It's a little bit of a challenge, but keep your receipt. You send it in. About 6 weeks later, you get your 11% back.
Those are great takes. And you believe that cheese belongs on the inside of the burger.
I know this is very controversial for folks, but it's
not controversial.
Not for where you come from. You've been on Juicy Lucy.
Doesn't everyone agree?
I don't
think
they
do. I have a song called Juicy Lucy, by the way. You can play it at your house.
You do?
Yes. I'll send it to you right after that.
Why did I not know that?
It's a deep cut.
It's a deep cut.
Just like the burger itself. They're delicious.
I do believe it should be inside.
It's like a hot chocolate molten lava cake, except beef and cheese.
He knows his Minnesota.
Yeah.
He knows his Minnesota well.
There's Tim Walz's appearance on the social media podcast.
Wow.
I want this man to get elected now just because I know he's going to be checking out the gutters at the White House. Checking out the gutter situation, and there will be Juicy Lucy's on the White House menu. So yes, now you know that's a Minnesota thing where they put the cheese inside the burger. I've had it. It's okay. I just didn't know if maybe you had and had your hot take on hot molten cheese inside of a burger.
I mean, I've had it and it was just okay. Kind of like you said, it wasn't anything that I died to have again or it really topped the regular way. So no, not really.
Yeah. And you have a new appreciation for gutters now, don't you?
I do.
Not to mention the Menards rebates. Save those receipts.
Oh, boy.
That was hysterical. That song will just get stuck in your head all day now.
I have to tell you, my younger daughter, when she was two, I think, we were in a shopping cart going through. And at one point in the middle of Menards, she goes, "Where's Bernard?" I'm like, "What? Where's Bernard?" And then she saved big money at Menards. I'm like, we had to explain it's actually Menard, but she couldn't spell yet. She's 2 years old. What are you going to do? Thank you, Brittany.
Yes,
have a great
you.
Day.
All you
right.
Too.
Hey, we are joined now by Elizabeth Montemurro, the newest political correspondent for Up North News. Elizabeth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you, Pat?
All right. Say hi to Greg as well before he runs away here.
Yes. Hi, Greg.
This is going to be Selena Heller frequently joins us on Mondays. We're looking forward to talking to Elizabeth on Wednesdays about some of the stories that she's working on for Up North News as well. But first, let's get to know Elizabeth a little bit. Yeah, where you growed up, born and raised, educated, things like that.
Yeah, I am originally from, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and am now in Milwaukee and went to UW-Madison for undergrad, so a proud Badger.
Very good. Family, siblings?
Yeah, I've got two younger siblings. We're all in southeastern Wisconsin, one sister and her family there in Kenosha, and another's in Hills Corners.
Okay. And what else can we know about you? Whether you were, have done big travels someplace or, had a favorite job prior to your new favorite job of all time, things like that.
Let's see, big travels. I am big outdoors girl. I actually led canoeing trips my summers in college at Camp Manitouish in Boulder Junction, Wisconsin. So I like to get outside when I can.
Okay. In fact, you enjoy being on the lake, on a lake as much as I do. And the one story that we kind of bond over is that the Sunday morning or early afternoon that President Biden announced that he was getting out of the presidential race, folks already know that I said I was 2 minutes away from getting on the pontoon and spending the day on the lake when the news came. And instead, I was at my desk for the next 6 hours in swim trunks and flip flops, you know, working on all the various stories. You were actually on the water and had to come back.
Yes, I was. I was in Managua visiting friends, and we got on the pontoon boat, and within 5 minutes, I had asked them to turn the boat around and drop me off. I don't even think the sunscreen had totally absorbed into my skin yet.
No, probably not. And it was that day for a lot of folks. It was a bit of a crazy day, but we are so thankful to have you here now with us in what has been such a big bustling political year. And already you've really hit the ground running with a series of videos on things that the Harris-Walz ticket has been proposing, you know, contrasts with the Trump record. But then it was time to cover the Democratic National Convention. Had you been to, attended, or covered any kind of a national convention before?
I had not. This was my first convention in person. You know, I definitely helped out with the Wisconsin team in 2020, but that was a virtual convention. So I was sitting behind a computer the entire time with multiple monitors in my office. Not that I didn't spend some time around or behind a computer this past week in Chicago, but it looked and felt a lot different, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I keep getting asked this, so I'll ask you as well. In general, what was your overall impression of the convention and or the convention experience?
You know, I think overall it seemed just like a great week, and everyone that I encountered seemed very happy and excited and just motivated to be there. I would say a general sense of optimism from those that I spoke with as well. For me personally, I was glad to get back to Chicago. I did live there for some time. And, you know, I think Chicago did a pretty great job with organizing as well, since it's a large place. You know, we actually weren't the only convention in town. I encountered another convention at one of the hotels. So the city was able to host a lot of people in a very short amount of time, along with everything else already going on in town.
I noticed that as well, that there were other people that had lanyards on with different kinds of badges, and it was clear they were at a different convention. And I really have to wonder if those planners knew that coming in, that there was already the Democratic convention coming, or if they got a nasty surprise later on, like you booked us for when there's a little more competition for the cabs and for everything, for dining, for everything else that's out there. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, Elizabeth is going to highlight the case of a woman from Milwaukee, a mom who spoke at the convention about the importance of getting rid of the lead water lines that are still there. And so we'll hear some of Elizabeth's interview with her. And then in a little later after that, we'll hear the convention remarks from the leaders of two of the leading education unions as part of this week's homeroom segment. And we'll still hear from Todd Alba as well. We'll give you an update on the Brewers playing the Giants last night right after this pause, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Wednesday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com.
You're listening to The Shaw at WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
November 21st, 2021, the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an 8-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. You can try.
Pat, you're muted.
Did I just do that twice in one day, Greg?
Oh, you sure did, buddy.
I did. Wow. Okay, Leanne Rimes, 42 years old today. Another one of her hits. You can catch our history lesson every morning at 6:50. And you know what? Just like the last time, I was heading over to look at the Brewers update. I'm just going to have to put that on a sticky note and put it right on the screen here. Brewers fall to the San Francisco Giants 5-4. They lose on a Mike Yastrzemski two-run homer in the seventh inning. Jackson Churio and Willie Adames each hit home runs for the Brewers. The two teams go at it again tonight and then tomorrow afternoon before heading to Cincinnati for a Friday doubleheader and then games Saturday and Sunday before coming home on Monday. We're joined once again by Elizabeth Montemurro, the newest reporter at Up North News, who is in Chicago with me covering the Democratic National Convention. And the Democrats wanted to meet in Milwaukee 4 years ago. That, of course, became virtual because of COVID. But Milwaukee still got a little love, got a little attention in Chicago. We played before the comments from the mayor, Cavalier Johnson, about rebuilding parts of 6th Street that had been decimated to, you know, put the interstate in many years ago. But the other big story is about the ongoing effort to replace lead water pipes in Milwaukee. And Elizabeth, you talked to a woman who's been all over this. Why don't you introduce her to us, and then we'll play a little bit of her convention speech.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to speak with a woman named Deanna Branch. Her son, Aiden, actually had lead poisoning at the age of 2. And here we are 10 years later, and she's really become an advocate for not just her son, but for raising the issue about lead pipes and you know, the issue or damage that lead pipes can cause and the health effects that it has on children.
Yeah, we've been covering her for a number of years now here at Up North News, and how she's helped lead the charge to get the EPA, get the Lead Out Initiative active in the area. The vice president had come to Milwaukee some time back to talk about this as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law. So let's hear that in her own words. And so here's a little bit of the remarks that Deanna Branch made at the Democratic Convention last week.
My name is Deanna Branch, and I'm an advocate and mom from Milwaukee. When my son, Aiden, was 2, he was hospitalized due to high levels of lead in his blood. Lead was everywhere, in our pipes, in our paint, and in our soil. President Biden and Vice President Harris passed the bipartisan infrastructure law. It's removing lead pipes from communities like ours. As president, Kamala Harris will make sure everyone can drink clean water and be, in Aiden's words, lead-free superheroes.
Which is exactly what we need and what we deserve. And you had a chance to catch up with her as well in Chicago. Tell us more about that conversation, and then we'll play a clip of it.
You know, I'll say, Pat, she was more than grateful and appreciative to attend the convention, let alone speak. Like, when I spoke with her, she was just
very honored was the word she kept using. Just, I'm so honored to be here and be able to share our story. And her children were also with her, so she was excited to share that experience with them. I'll transition a little bit, Pat, to that last line that she said, Aiden's words, lead-free superheroes. That actually refers to the title of a book that she authored and Aiden, her son who had lead poisoning, illustrated. So that was actually, I think, the next part of the interview that I'd like to share.
Yeah, where we talk about the encouragement that she got from Vice President Harris about this book that they were working on together.
I've been advocating since Aiden was lead poisoned too, so he's about to be 12 this year. So to actually see the work finally being done and to see it change, and I see that my children are learning more about environmental justice as far as pollution, how that plays with their asthma. So I'm just honored to see that we're moving in the right direction towards money actually being put into a cleaner, healthy environment for our children, and my children learning more about environmental justice and being aware of their environment. So I'm very honored that I'm seeing the change. No more promises, but I'm actually seeing the work being done. When the vice president first came to Milwaukee with the vice infrastructure plan 2 years ago, that's when I wrung her Aiden's artwork because he wasn't vaccinated, so he couldn't see her himself. I wrung a photo of Aiden in his artwork, and she loved the artwork, and she said that it would make a great book. And my pastor agreed, and she helped me get that book funded and published. So when the vice president called me for the last summit a year ago, I was invited to the White House, and I delivered her the first copy of the book, Aiden's Lucky Superhero book. Now me and Aiden, the whole family, Jane and Raylan too, we travel around different states and communities and we give out free copies of the book. And we teach the children and parents about lead and how to be lead safe and what foods to eat and how to prevent their child further exposure.
So, a lot of encouragement from others to her, but she shouldn't diminish her own role. I mean, if anybody's been a superhero on this story, it's been her.
Agreed.
So where does the story go from here? The work goes on because of the bipartisan infrastructure law?
Yeah, I would say definitely. And it's not even just advocacy now. Even as Deanna mentioned, she's seeing the change, and we are seeing that change. One of the other Milwaukee residents that spoke at the convention was also Rashawn Spivey, who is the owner of Hero Plumbing, and his company is actually helping replace the lead pipes in the city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, he did deliver remarks there as well. There's all kinds of people involved. There is, sadly, a political component to this. As I mentioned last week when Deanna made her remarks, that there should have been much more money directed toward this project years ago. But as Governor Tony Evers put funds in his state budget proposal for it, Republicans took the money out and had the audacity to say publicly that they just felt too much money was going to Milwaukee, because apparently in their view, lead poisoning for children in Milwaukee is okay compared to where it is in other places. But that hasn't stopped people like Deanna Branch and others from getting involved. And we're very thankful for that. And we're thankful for Elizabeth Montemurro for covering it for us at the convention. Elizabeth, thanks very much. It's going to be great to have you here.
Thanks, Pat.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Let's take a break here. When we come back, we'll do our regular Wednesday homeroom segment. And this time in place of a guest, because we still have a lot to talk about from the Chicago convention. And so we're going to hear from two of the leaders nationwide in teacher labor unions, including Becky Pringle from the National Education Association and Randy Weingarten from the American Federation of Teachers. And then after that, we'll talk a bit about the assault on voting rights, what's taking place in numerous states, and the kinds of things we need to be on the lookout for here in Wisconsin as well. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Farm Rescue, a nonprofit organization that provides free planting, haying, harvesting, commodity hauling, and livestock feeding assistance to farm families who have experienced a major illness, injury, or even natural disaster, has officially added Wisconsin to its growing list of service states. Dan Erdman, Marketing Program Manager at Farm Rescue, shares how they've gotten to this point to be able to expand since their inception in 2005.
We do work all across the Midwest. Like I said, it's 9 states. And early on, it was immediately apparent that, you know, this is not an isolated need. There are families dealing with unexpected injuries, illnesses, or natural disasters across the country. You know, so when we have the resources available and volunteers and funding to expand our mission, that's always been a major goal. And Wisconsin is another great, you know, agriculturally driven state. It works well within our current geographical footprint. And, you know, we're just honored to have the opportunity to offer our services to Wisconsin farm families in crisis.
You can learn more about Farm Rescue by heading to MidwestFarmReport.com. I'll have more news right after this.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production.
So they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your agribusiness news. The 60th annual Falcon Frontier Days Rodeo is Friday and Saturday, September 6th and 7th at the Outdoor Rodeo Arena at the University of Wisconsin River Falls. Friday's performance begins at 7 p.m., while Saturday's performances are set for 1:30 and 7 p.m. Rodeo attendees will have the opportunity to view numerous events, ranging from saddle bronc riding to calf roping, as well as barrel racing. The UW-River Falls Rodeo Club will compete in the event, along with other collegiate teams that are members of the Great Plains region of the National Intercollegiate Rodeo Association. You can learn more about this, as well as find other agribusiness news stories on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today, our high 76 this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 79 with scattered showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
WAUK invites you to join us every Saturday from 8 a.m. till noon for the weekly Waukesha Farmers Market. As we head into the harvest season, their choices at the market change every week. From fresh fruit and vegetables to sweet treats, crafts, flowers, and food, there's something for everyone at the Waukesha Farmers Market. Stop by the 540 a.m. WAUK tent and spin our prize wheel for fun prizes and say hi to some of our local WAUK staff. See you this weekend at the Farmers Market with WAUK.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Esther Flones is our guest, and also Dr. Laura Hanks with another edition of Public Service Announcement. Send your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're still the one I want for life.
Shania Twain, 59 years old today on the birthday calendar. From the mailbag here on YouTube. Oh, Greg, this one from Greg W., who says, Pat, I just subscribed to Up North News for free. I was surprised to find out that you have stories from Southeast Wisconsin also. And there we get into the subject of how did Up North News get its name and what if we had a time machine, would we do it all over again? And the answer might be no, because it seems like every day, or almost every day, we get stories from people that say, you don't do enough stories from up north. You're covering all this stuff from Madison and Milwaukee. And we explain that Wisconsin is America's up north, and we cover the entire state. We're a state-based news outlet that's called Up North News. And then we have other people like Greg that say, oh, I thought all of your stories were from up north. And, you know, I didn't know that there would be stories that pertain to me. And yes, there will, because we're a state-based news outlet that does stories here in America's up north. So should we have had a different name? Some would say, but that's where we are with Up North News today.
I always appreciate Greg Wansnyder reaching out. We just had Greg on as a guest yesterday on Matt and Air on Air. He was, he is a local Waukesha. He's an institution. I've known him for about 30 years now, and he's a good guy.
Well, we definitely appreciate the note. From Brian on Facebook, have you seen the global study how crime rose and fell with lead levels globally tracking it when individual companies removed leaded gasoline, talking about lead in our last segment here? And Brian, no, I have not. I don't have it here in front of me to you know, affirm that one way or the other, but I'm going to take you at your word and pass that along that, again, I think we can all agree that removing lead is a good thing, whether it's from water or gasoline. Brian also goes on to remind us that with Tim Walz singing the Menard song, maybe we could get Mr. Menard to give more to Kristen Lierley or Kamala Harris and Tim Walz to balance out all of the Republican donations that he's made in the past. We've covered that plenty of times on this program as well, that, you know, John Menard is a multi-billionaire who is always going to give to Republican causes, and that, you know, you'll have to make your decision on whether to shop at Menard's or Culver's or Quick Trip or any place else. You have to decide for yourself if those political donations are enough to push you one way or another on that. On the text line from Scott in Shorewood, Greg.
I love this one.
The Juicy Lucy is nasty. Can totally wreck a gas grill. I guess I could see that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, having never grilled a Juicy Lucy, you know, how the cheese oozes out of it compared to if you're putting your cheese on top of the burger. I think either way.
Yes, exactly.
Cheese can glop onto your gas burners, and that's one of the reasons I love my charcoal grill.
I have a gas grill. That's all I got out there. A brand new one. I've still only used it once, so we got to really kick that into gear to make its money back, if you ask me.
Oh, by the way, for another point of view, here's Tony and Ashlyn commenting on YouTube. All these stories from southern Wisconsin, like Hayward and Rice Lake, just ridiculous, writes Tony and Ashlyn, where they're the only ones that are up north. Hayward is down south for them. So, you have to live north of Highway 8 to get that joke,
well,
apparently.
The thing is, I live in Kenosha, which is like the most southern part of Wisconsin. So.
Where it's, yeah, exactly. West Dallas is up north for you.
Exactly,
you
know? Exactly. Oh my gosh, all that stuff happening up north in West Dallas and places.
We're going up north to Summerfest.
Oh my good Lord.
Yeah, it's tough to keep track of it all. In our daily newsletter, sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. In today's edition, how small manufacturers are already benefiting from the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS and Science Act to increase energy efficiency and bring manufacturing back to America. Also, the Madison skyline has a protected view of the state capitol. But will future luxury high-rises change that? That story and much more in our newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com, where we cover stories from all over Wisconsin. All right, time for a little bit of our weekly homeroom segment, talking about the value of education. And one of the things I thought we would share from the convention would be remarks from two of education's leading figures. There's Becky Pringle, the president of the National Education Association, and Randy Weingarten, the president of the American Federation of Teachers. Both are relatively short remarks here, so we thought we'd play them in their entirety. First off, here is Becky Pringle.
am Becky Pringle, president of the largest labor union in this country, the National Education Association. As an eighth grade science teacher for over 30 years, I can tell you that Kamala Harris and teacher Tim Walz understand when our public schools are strong, our nation is strong. They know expanding free school meals, investing in health care, and keeping our communities and our schools safe creates opportunity for everyone. They will strengthen our schools, support our educators, and help our students live into their brilliance. Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are not just wrong, they're dangerous. It's all right there in Project 2025. They will shut down the Department of Education and Head Start and make educators pay a higher percentage in taxes than billionaires. But we are coming together to say, not on our watch. Not on our watch. So we will organize and we will mobilize and we will win all the things. So come this January, we will have a president who sees us, who believes in us, and who knows the beauty and the power of this diverse democracy. And her name is Kamala Harris.
I'm Randy Weingarten, the president of the AFT and a public school teacher. One of my first lessons I taught my students was about the social contract, how both individual freedoms and mutual responsibility are essential in our democracy. This covenant underlies our commitment to public schools, where educators prepare students to spark innovations, steward the environment, create our arts, and shape our democracy. Now, one of the first lessons my students taught me was, you gotta walk the walk. That means Donald Trump and J.D. Vance can't claim they're pro-child while gutting funding for public schools. That being pro-family means we support access to good union jobs, affordable housing, health care, and higher education. That's what Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are fighting for, and we are all in. They've spent their lives making the promise of America real in the classroom and the courtroom. America, with Kamala Harris as our president, our best days are ahead.
All right, there was Randy Weingarten from the AFT and previously Becky Pringle, president of the National Education Association at the Democratic Convention. On Friday, we're going to play more of the voices of the Wisconsin delegation, but we're also going to include convention remarks from about a half a dozen other leaders of national unions. We figure with the Labor Day weekend coming up, it would be a good opportunity to hear what labor leaders think of the contest between ideas in the presidential election. Now, that presidential election only works well if everyone who is eligible to vote can vote. And unfortunately, in our country, we have the only organized political class, the Republican Party, the only organized political class of all the world's developed democracies that works to discourage people from voting, that looks to suppress the vote, to take the franchise away from people, or in the case of Donald Trump, to actively cheat and try to overthrow the results of a fair election. And the signs are still out there that this is going on. Let's look at several states really quick here. We've already mentioned in Georgia how there are now some pro-Trump members of the Georgia State Elections Board that have passed new rules that could make it easier for counties to delay counting the votes and certifying the results based not on hard evidence, but basically on hunches, and allow investigations to go on to the point where they would miss deadlines to submit their certified totals, something that could affect the final vote of the Electoral College. That's in Georgia. In Texas, a Latino voting rights group that endorsed for the first time ever in a presidential race and has endorsed Kamala Harris now wants a federal investigation after Texas state authorities raided the homes of its members and seized phones and computers. The state's Republican Attorney General says they're investigating voter fraud when there is no evidence of fraud. And it appears to be everything about trying to intimidate this Latino voting rights group and prevent people from voting. In Nebraska, there is work underway by Republican Attorney General and others to reverse a law that restores voting rights for felons who have paid their price to society and can have their voting rights restored. There are only a handful of places, Virginia, Tennessee, and almost nowhere else in the world where felons, people convicted of felonies, have a lifetime ban on voting. At some point, rules are in place that allow their voting rights to be restored. That was the case with a Nebraska law that the Nebraska Attorney General and other Republicans are saying they don't believe in and are notifying people that they may not be eligible to vote. Now, they probably still are eligible to vote, but again, in doing so, this is a case of voter intimidation. If you can't stop people from voting, you can at least scare them into doing so. Now to Pennsylvania, where a judge has told a Republican-controlled county they broke state law when election workers refused to tell voters that their mail-in ballots had been rejected and wouldn't be counted in last April's primary election. The Republican officials were saying, well, we can't open up the ballots until Election Day morning, so there's no time to let voters know that there was a mistake, to which the judge said, give me a break. The mistake is on the envelope. You can see on the outside of the envelope if an address is missing information or if there's missing a signature or something, and you have time to reach out to the voter so they can correct that error. You have to fix that. But in Pennsylvania, these Republicans decided that they would not. We have already told you previously about how two northern Wisconsin townships are no longer using their accessible voting equipment so that people with disabilities can vote because they are afraid of the machines and think that the machines might be part of voter fraud, something that doesn't exist. And of course, we have the January 6th case where Special Counsel Jack Smith yesterday filed a fresh new indictment against President Trump, keeping most of the case intact, removing some of the parts about presidential immunity that a right-wing U.S. Supreme Court recently granted. We'll talk with Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show right after this on the Civic Media Radio.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt and Air on Air. Most of us can agree everyone deserves the right to make their own medical decisions. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, we have leaders like Vice President Kamala Harris who are standing up for our rights to make our own medical decisions and protect abortion rights. As Vice President, Kamala Harris helped lead the administration's efforts to protect abortion rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Vice President Harris has worked to defend access to emergency medical care and support the ability to travel for reproductive care. She's fought for access to high-quality, affordable contraception and strengthened reproductive health privacy. Vice President Harris has defended our rights and freedoms against right-wing extremists who want the government to make medical decisions for us. She's a champion for our rights.
Visit www.abwt.org/Kamala and tell Vice President Harris, keep fighting for our freedom to make our own medical decisions. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Let's go, girls. Come on.
One more for Shania Twain's birthday here on this Wednesday morning, August 28th. We're now getting to the part of the program where Pat has already left his microphone on mute twice and is now starting to ask himself, did Todd tell me that he was on vacation this week or something, that he couldn't make today's show? Or is he just a little late finishing that bowl of cornflakes? Maybe he's trying a Juicy Lucy for the first time and is firing up the grill. Look at that look you gave me.
I have an experience with a Juicy Lucy that happened to me when I was younger that this kind of turns me off from the idea of a cheese-filled burger. So I bit into one and hot cheese shot to the back of my throat and burned my throat. So that
I feel like we need some kind of food intervention here, some kind of food therapy, because of your stance on the BLT and now the Juicy Lucy. Can we talk about something that you really enjoy and are looking forward to making over this Labor Day weekend? Are you going to be firing up that new grill again?
I will not be firing up the grill this weekend. We are going out of town on Saturday. We go to Indiana every Labor Day weekend to visit my wife's family. Mm-hmm. It's like a small family reunion. Her uncle and his wife will be there, and then cousins will be coming in and out. It's kind of like an open house thing for 2 days. So the grill will be fired up. There'll be steaks and burgers and hot dogs and probably some seafood happening as well, but yeah, it'll be a fun time. It'll be a very fun time. And my dislike for Juicy Lucy's comes more from like a childhood fear, like, oh, I got bit by a dog, so now I'm afraid of dogs. BLTs are just a crime, and no one should like them, so that's not, they're not the same.
I see. Okay.
But I'm looking forward to grills.
So here's my next grill question. This is what everybody's getting now. Everybody's talking about this, but I'm wondering, is a Blackstone a grill? Isn't it just a big griddle?
I think so. Just with a fancy
That's all
name.
I hear about. I had a friend just get it from his kids, a belated Father's Day birthday present, something like that. And he looks very happy. He's getting the oil on there and getting set to make something. And every clip that I've seen of it, I'm like, that's not a grill. You just hold a griddle outside and you're frying stuff on it. But I thought, am I missing something?
So I think, personally, nothing against the Blackstone brand, the Blackstone people, mm-hmm. or even the product itself. I think what they did was exactly that. They took a griddle, and they just put a fancy name on it, and they called it mm-hmm. Blackstone. And they're like, hey, give it to your dad. He'll love it. I'm sorry if I'm taking this in a direction you didn't expect it to go, but it's the machofication of certain things to make them uh-huh. palatable to a demographic. And when you take something like that, you're like where, you know, you're the pancakes on the griddle, whatever. No one cared. But now you call it a Blackstone.
You're like,
oh, man, I have a smoker and a gas grill and a Blackstone, and I'm just going to grill all the meat. You know, it's I get it. Fine. It's like the baby wipes they make for men now called dude wipes.
Yes.
So it's, yeah, it's a griddle and it's fine. Go for it. Do your thing, Jelly Bean. But
yeah, like, I don't mind it, but people are kind of losing their minds over it. Like, they're so happy to have this. Well, and I don't get it.
What was
Tony up in Ashland, by the way, writes on YouTube, 100% griddle. Yeah. Thank you, Tony.
What was the number one gift for people, like the, not a high end gift, the cup.
Oh, the Stanley thermos,
the Stanley cup.
Cup, yeah. Mm-hmm. I never understood that one either.
Yeah, I saw kids losing their minds because they got a Yeti cup. They're like, I wanted a Stanley. It's all about the brand name. It's all about the brand name. It doesn't. It's a cup.
Which, I mean, that was a lesson I learned going way back to high school, where some folks are familiar with what's called Section 8 housing, low income housing. Uh-huh. And, you know, with my mom, single mom, raising us kids, you know, on a truck stop waitress's salary, we qualified for it. And so we left the city of St. Paul because a low income duplex was available in the suburb of Apple Valley. And that was a bit of a culture shock, because in St. Paul, I mean, we were all watching our pennies. Nobody was living, you know, fancy there. You get to the suburbs in the early 80s there. Do you remember? No, you wouldn't. You're too young to remember. But designer jeans were really first coming into play. Calvin Klein, Gloria Vanderbilt.
Sassoon.
You know? Sassoon. And I recall, you know, one of my sisters asking if they could get like Gloria Vanderbilt jeans or whatever it was. And my mom, of course, gave her standard answer with what? My pants buttons? You know, because there's no extra money. We've been given this favor of being able to get out of a, you know, one kind of rougher neighborhood into one with a home and go to a good school and all of that. But that doesn't give you the income to be getting things just because there's a name on it.
Yeah.
So from an early age, I've been very aware of not falling for brand names. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean I go like generic with everything, but I also try not to go overboard like the way people have been on, you know, it's got to be a Yeti or a Blackstone or a Stanley or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
Having said that, I'm sure it wouldn't take Sherry, you know, 5 seconds to come up with something like, really, Pat? Mr. Mac, MacBook, iMac, your Apple phone. But that's more like brand loyalty, I think, is what it is.
I think it's also, I think it's brand loyalty, but I was thinking about that too, because when I buy tools, I generally buy Milwaukee because I like the fact that it's a Wisconsin-based company and they're also very reliable. I'm investing in certain things, but as far as like, you know, clothing or even food, it's like, I don't need to have the fanciest of all those things because I'm fine. It's fine.
So Brian writes in on Facebook, Black Stove rebranding reminded me of Hires rebranding a drink for coal miners that he was going to call it root tea because it's made with a ginger root tea. But we now call it root beer because beer is more manly. Yeah. Absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's that's a perfect example, Brian. It's that. And a lot of times they're pushing. Well, not they push it towards men. They have to give it like darker colors, greens and blacks. I put anything in camouflage, a guy will buy it. But like, yeah, it's a griddle. I hope it's great. I mean, now Weber keeps on sending me emails saying, hey, do you want to put a griddle top on your grill? I'm like, no, I'm fine.
No,
I have a griddle thing on my stove in my house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. If Todd had been able to join us, we were going to go back to something we talked about last hour, and that was Eric Hovde and the Orange County fundraiser. And again, there's the thing is tomorrow. It's tomorrow night. So again, Eric Hovde, if you and your people are listening, there's still time to say, you know what, can't really make it out there. But I promise you, and I'm not saying this to be mean, I'm just saying I know how politics works. If he's in Orange County now or steps in there tomorrow, there will be video, there will be photos, and it will be the next message either from Tammy Baldwin and or her allies. That's just how this works. Mm-hmm. I have no idea why you said yes to this. And that's what we would ask Todd about, but you'll have to find out on his show. But in the meantime, Greg is on Jane's show, filling in starting at 10.
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a great day. And thanks to all of you for joining us here on Up North News Radio for this Wednesday morning. I'm Pat.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by the co-host of the Maggie Dawn Show and actor Brian Kelly and director of the cult classic The Giant Spider Invasion and Wisconsin native Bill Rabane. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Summer may be ending, but there's still time to enjoy a beer with your neighbors at Merrill Crest Park on September 5th through the 7th for Waukesha Parks, Rec, and Forestry's Neighborhood Beer Garden. Enjoy live music, food, socializing with neighbors, and of course, beer. Also, there is still time to sign up for the before and after school program. Registration does end on August 29th, so register your child now before the program is full. Visit waukeshawi.gov under Activity Guide for more information.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS.